This tape will become part of the Scandinavian Immigrant Experience Collection at Pacific Lutheran University. The date today is August 23rd, 1984. The interview is taking place in Spokane, Washington, and is being conducted by Janet Rasmussen. Would you tell me your full name?
Peter Garberg.
Peter Garberg. And where were you born?
Selbu, Norway.
And your birth date?
December 8, 1898.
1898. Okay. And tell me about your parents, their names and so forth.
Well, my father, Ingebrigt Garberg.
Yes.
And mother, Kari.
And what did they do back home in Norway?
They were farmers.
They were farmers?
Yeah.
Were they both from the Selby area?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your childhood home, what you remember from it.
Well, we was on a farm. They had a little dairy, and there was quite a bit of timber to the place. So we did a little logging every year, and I started in pretty early in the timber helping, and, you know, we did the logging in the fall as a rule, and hauled some logs to the sawmill, and then Dad sold the lumber, some lumber company. And then they had, I think, 6 or 8 cows and some sheep and a few goats, and so I was trained on a farm pretty early.
How many children in your family?
I live as 4. My oldest brother, that's Ingebrigt, and he is a teacher. When I left there, he's through college, and he was a teacher. And then it was my sister, Anna. Then I had a younger brother, Arnie. He died during the flu epidemic in 1919. About a couple of years after I left.
Did your sister Alma also stay in Norway then?
Oh yeah. She's really married again, and she's the one that has had the farm, home farm. And her son is running the place right now. And my brother Ingebrigt, he died young, rather, 42, I think. So my sister and I, are the only two that's left.
Now, one thing I'd like to ask about your brother Ingebrigt, you said that he went to college and became a teacher. Was that something quite unusual for someone from his background? No.
Oh, no.
No.
No. In fact, we have in one family 4 teachers. My mother's brother had 2 boys and 2 girls, and they were all went to college and teachers. And another, her older brother, had a son that was a teacher. So it was, you know, in the family.
It was in the family.
Yeah.
Right. Now, your dad, was he ever in the United States?
Yeah.
He was.
And he had also 4 brothers that had been here. Besides, there were 6 brothers and five of them had been here in the United States. Three was in Alaska during the gold rush in Klondike and Nome and up there. Two of them come back to Norway. Their dad was here about 4 years. And my uncles, Pete, was here about 17 years, I think. And he came back to Norway when it started to peter out in the gold up 1906. He came back. And Uncle Chris came back in 1910. He'd been here about 19 years. And my Uncle Andrew, or Andreas, he died and lived in here and died in Seattle. So that's what I can tell about those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did any of them do really well in the gold processing?
Chris did. But then he lost a lot of it in a bank in Norway.
Oh, is that right?
Too bad, yep.
Was that the
But he bought a place there by himself along the highway and built up a beautiful, nice home and one thing and another, and had a family there. But then I heard, after I'd gone, I heard that he lost a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But he did do that much. He built up a new home there, broke up some land and built up nice buildings. Mm-hmm. Too bad. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever talk to you about what it was like up in Alaska?
Oh yeah. There were some, but they didn't, not too much.
Mm-hmm.
But Uncle Pete, he bought a farm back there, a small farm, and he was married. They're both dead, and his family are dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, what year exactly was it you came over?
1917.
So at that time, you had this uncle in Seattle still.
He was dead.
Oh, he had died already.
He died a couple of years before I left.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you said your father had been here for 4 years.
Yeah.
When approximately was that?
Well, in Minneapolis, at the sawmill, and then he worked in the lumber camps in northern Minnesota, and mm-hmm. one day and another.
Was he married at the time?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He came back, and then he bought a place there and got married, and then he traded, but his oldest brother, Paul, for the home place again. So he's the one that landed on the home place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got a family tree listed here on a paper someplace that goes back to 1700, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Garbers, Peter Paulson, Paul Peterson, and, well, the oldest son was, as a rule, to take over the old place, you know. But then Dad was number three out of the six brothers. But he traded with his, because Uncle Paul had been here too, out in Seattle, and he wanted to go back here. So him and Dad traded, and Dad got the home place. But then Uncle Paul never did. Got married, and he started having children, and then trouble, he couldn't get away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
But it was, would you say it was kind of a pattern for the young men in that area to think they'd come to America for a little while and earn money and go home? Is that?
In a way, I think so. It was more or less that way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them come back and a lot of them didn't. Mm-hmm. That depends on. But it was an adventure, you know. Mm-hmm.
Is that how you looked upon it when you came?
Well, maybe.
Uh-huh. Was there anything real specific that drew you to America?
No, there was two other of the neighbor boys that was gone, and I. Of course, my brother was the oldest, and so, you know, and I was. But so I decided to go with them and become. One of them came with me direct to La Crosse.
Let's go back just a minute. You said that you had worked, you're telling about working on the farm and helping out there. Did that change after you were confirmed and finished school? Or what did you end up doing after that?
Oh, no, I did about the same.
You did about the same.
In fact, I skidded logs in the timber there the last winter I was there, and I was only about 18.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dad sold some timber, and a fella had put up a little sawmill there pretty close, and I helped haul logs to that sawmill.
Mm-hmm. How would you do that? You had horses?
I had a horse.
You had one horse?
One horse, and it kind of a double sled, you know, two sled. And, yeah.
Did you have somebody working with you?
Well, Dad worked with me for a while, and then we had a hired one. We had two horses. And then we hired a neighbor there, and he helped me. Till we got the logs hauled, and then this mill was up in the mountain, kind of. Then I was there towards spring again and hauled lumber out to the highway. So they could ship it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you get paid a certain wage for that kind of work?
Well, I got some money to go to this country.
You did, through that?
Through, that's about it.
Uh-huh. You remember what your ticket cost you?
Yeah. 440 kroner.
Uh-huh.
From Trondheim to La Crosse, Washington. I still got a part of the ticket someplace over in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm. Were there others? Did you have to have a certain amount of money above that ticket?
Yeah, I had to have, to land in New York, you had to have $25 to show. And you had to have an address to somebody somewhere. Which I missed out on. My partner, neighbor, boy, it was the same. And of course, we in New York, we was out on Ellis Island, you know, to be separated and get our railroad tickets, this and that. And from there, you were supposed to call a certain person someplace. Well, we was out on a ferry. Then you go in on this island, and he went off. We were stacked in there like sardines, you know, on there. And he got off first, and he went through this, whatever you had to do, get your ticket in different railroads, wherever you was going. And then he walked from there over to the Norwegian Seamen's Mission, where they give you a little... And in between where you got your railroad ticket and where you were supposed to wait in this Seamen's Mission, there was a phone booth, and somebody was there to catch you, supposed to call. Well, he called. And then he went in with his suitcases, and he thought I was lost, and, you know, I was behind. So he come back and met me in there where I was getting my ticket. And then we walked together, and I missed this telephone booth, or they missed me, so I didn't call any. But we both landed for the same farm in La Crosse. So I went with him, really, when we landed in La Crosse.
Now, let's talk a little more about the Seamen's Mission and so on. They had a room.
Yeah, they had a room there, and they give you some little to eat, you know, lunch at that time. And that's about all I remember over there. And we was there. We waited there for quite a while, and then of course they sent us on a train, started home.
This was after you'd gone through the immigration itself.
Yeah, yeah.
You came out and got the railroad ticket and
so
on.
Yeah.
What do you remember about the immigration officials and what they asked you?
No, I don't remember much about that. I don't remember. Of course, we had our railroad tickets from Norway. And we were in Oslo 3 or 4 days before we could go on the boat. We had to show our pass to the American consul.
Mm-hmm.
So our papers was really cleared back there. And as far, of course, at that time we landed on the ship in New York one morning, because we was on the ship. The ones that was American citizens and one thing and other, they could went ashore right away, practically. But we had to wait on the boat till the next morning, because we was, what do you call, immigrants, or there's a different there, isn't it?
Well, immigrants is when you leave your home country, and immigrant is when you come
in. When you come in, yeah. Well, I knew there was two, but I didn't know which. Okay. Well, then they sent us out on this island. That was just more or less to split us up. You go on this railroad and you get a ticket here, and you didn't know which window. You saw that, well, this is Southern Pacific, and this is probably the Pennsylvania, and this is the Milwaukee or the Great Northern. You had a ticket. You tried one window.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you go do the next one. Well, maybe the third one. Okay. Here's your ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you said you came to Oslo. How did you get to Oslo from Trondheim?
That was by train.
By train?
By train, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what boat did you go on from?
Bergensfjord.
Bergensfjord,
yeah. Bergensfjord.
Mm-hmm. What was that trip like?
Boy, it was nice. The weather was, pretty good.
Mm-hmm. What time of year was it?
We saw a burial at sea. A lady died, and they stopped the boat, and they had the corpse in a wooden box, you know, and up on the upper deck, and captain held a little service speech, you know. Then they lowered it over. And then another thing, this was about in the middle of the ocean. Maybe closer to, because we was 5-6 days on the ocean. And then we picked up a fisherman out on Newfoundland. I think he was, I don't remember whether he was Spanish or Portuguese. But he'd gotten lost from his big ship, see,
mm-hmm.
in a single boat, you know, just a rowboat, not even a motor on it. We picked him, stopped the boat, and picked him up. It took him along to New York. I still remember, you know, well, there were a lot of people come up on deck, you know, and they could feel the ship, you know. They turned, they spied him, you see, out there, you know, and turned. I was down in my room, and I could feel the boat was leaning, you know, and then I looked out through the window, and I thought I could see something out there, and it scared me because it was during the First World War, see. U-boat, something. So I run up on the deck, and then I heard it right away, you know, they're rescuing a fisherman. Mm-hmm. And so they got him pretty close to the boat, and somebody asked if he had any fish. And while he talked, I think it was Portuguese. I don't know, somebody understood him, I guess, or something. And he said they were, you know, sour, you know. It was warm, it was in August, you see. Well, they said, we don't want any sour fish, we got enough sour fish aboard. He said, heave it out of the boat. That was about the most interesting on the trip.
Mm-hmm. Now, why was it you were coming to La Crosse? You didn't mention that.
Well, this neighbor of mine, or buddy of mine, had talked to a fellow in Norway that had been here.
Mm-hmm.
He'd worked out in Spokane, in the woods in Spokane, and he'd worked on a farm with La Crosse, especially during harvest. At that time, you know, the lumberjacks, you know, especially, they'd work in the wintertime in the timber up here, you know, and then they'd take in the harvest down in Whitman County, you know, or eastern Washington, any place. And he was the one that he'd given this buddy of mine the name of a fellow at La Crosse that was farming.
Okay. Let's get these names now. The buddy you came with, what was his name?
Garberg. That was Perry Garberg, or Per Garberg. But we were not related.
Okay.
But he was a neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the farmer from La Crosse you were going to work for?
Yeah.
What was his name?
We was going to land there. His name was Chesnes. Haldur, Chesnes,
mm-hmm.
but not related to...
Not related to your wife's
family. No, but he was neighbor there too. Garberg, Chesnes, they're all farm names.
Mm-hmm.
Like different, you got a personal name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's how we got to this fellow at La Crosse. And when we landed there, we happened to run on to two fellows that was hauling. They had started harvesting. It was this 7th of August we got into La Crosse. And, well, we had the name of a doctor in La Crosse too. I went in and talked to him. He was Norwegian. No, he couldn't talk Norwegian. I forget his name. He was married to...
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I went in and talked to him, and he told me he thought maybe this fellow that we was going to, or called, they were hauling wheat from there, he said. I think there's probably team in town now, or a couple of guys. So we found them. And we rode from La Crosse and out to the farm on the wheat wagon. empty wheat barn that evening first.
How did it strike you when you first saw the cross? Well, what was it like?
I don't know. I was pretty tired.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
It was warm, you know, and we come, we had heavy clothes. And
had you been able to sleep at all on the train, or how?
Oh, some, not very much. So.
What was that like, the train trip over from New York?
Well, it wasn't very good. It was a combination freight, and we had first-class tickets. Supposed to be on a passenger, but it wasn't. The only place, well, of course, we come through Chicago. I've been back there since, and I recognize the Union Depot there, all right. Of course, our daughter is Pennsylvania, and we've been back there a few times. And I remember we were in Chicago, and then we come through Omaha. I remember that, mm-hmm. Nebraska. And then, of course, we came to Pendleton,
mm-hmm.
and we changed train there. We got in there one morning, or during the night. I don't know what road that was on. And I was tired. I remember I lay down on the grass on the outside on the lawn there. And I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got on the, well, I think what they used to call the OWRN from Pendleton and up to La Crosse.
How did you find anything to eat or have anything to eat while you were on the
train? We didn't buy. I think we bought a little on the train a couple of times, but I don't remember what we had.
Mm-hmm. You didn't know any English?
No. We had some gravbærer from Norway, you know, dried meat, you know, what do you call it here? Spekeskjøtt. A rat. Had found my on the boat while there were two bunks, you know, one here and one up above, you know, and I had the bottom one and I had my suitcases too. And a rat had smelled that, you know, and she had dug a hole one night. Right in there. Well, then another thing that was kind of, it was during the First World War, see, and England took our boat into Halifax, Nova Scotia. That's mm-hmm. Nova Scotia, I think, to be examined. You know, it was during the war, see, if there was any, well, propaganda or, you know, spy and anything, you know, they went through. Everything.
Hmm.
We were there 2 days. And then we went from there to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Now?
Yeah. Yeah. When you left Norway, did you have any plan or did you say to your folks you'd be back?
No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. How did they react to your decision to come?
Well, of course, you know, some people called home, you know. They didn't think I should go, you know. They shouldn't let me go, you know. Well, Mother answered, you know, of course, from that place, like I told you before, there's five brothers, you know, that had been in this country. I wasn't the first one, you know, that left there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Mm-hmm.
My dad had been here.
What kind of advice did your dad give you coming over?
Oh, he didn't say much.
Didn't say much.
I think he told me to stay out of the cities.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Get on a farm or something, or more out of the city, or not to get a job in the city or something. And somebody said, don't get a railroad job. I remember that.
So, how did you learn some English words to get by, and how did that?
Well, I worked for my, on a farm, same place as they stayed on to start with.
Mm-hmm.
That was Peter Wiegand's two sons. I worked there the first winter, and of course he had, the oldest one was married and had four young children. So I had a great opportunity to learn there, you see. And the kids, especially one girl about, I don't know, 4 years old probably, she was trying to help me all the time.
Mm-hmm. So how long did you stay with Peter Wiegand on his farm?
Well, I was just till the next spring. And of course they had another hired man too, and I was, you know, and then I was offered a little better deal. And then I worked on several different farms off and on for 4 years until I leased a little farm myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say better deal, tell me what was the usual arrangement for a hired hand at that time? What could you expect to get for a wage?
Well, $60 a month. $60 and your board and room.
Mm-hmm.
And you drove... I drove 8 head of horses, and or 9, you know, depends on whether it was plow or harrow. As a rule, 8 head of horses. In harvest, you could get more. But the going wage then was during the spring work and all, as a rule, field work, $60 a month.
Was it hard to get a job like that?
No, not that time. Mm-hmm. No, the jobs was plentiful.
How many days a week would you, and hours would you might put in?
Boy, I worked for one that first summer, second summer. Then after I left Wiegand's, we got up at 4 in the morning. Started, we had the horses turned out at night, you know, out in the pasture. Get them up and carry them and feed them a little bit. And then it was 7 or 8 at night before you got through again. Well, you put in the hours.
Did you get any time off to go into town if you wanted, or?
Not much. Of course, in harvest, it depended at that time what you was doing. You could get, if you was a sack sower, that was, of course, the most of them that time had a stationary thrashing outfit. You know, you had a header and wagons and haul it into the machine and for driving 4 horses and a heather box. I think it was $3 a day in harvest. But if you was at work, like feeding the machine or on the hold on, like she was mentioning, her dad did, you get $4.
Mm-hmm.
If you was a good sack sower, you probably get 5.
Mm-hmm. Sack sower, that's actually making up the sacks that the wheat was.
Oh, yeah, you filled it, you know, the wheat come out of the machine,
right.
You know, and you had a sacker there, and you had to be good, you know. And you'd sew them up so they're tight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I did that on the combine again for 5-6 years. But of course, that's different, you know. On the machine, you had to pick them up and pile them up out there, you know. In some settings, you'd probably have 500 sacks, you know. And that was hard work. I did that 1 year, too, 2 years. But on the combine, you had a chute on the side. You'd fill your sack and sew it up, and then you dump it in the chute till you had the chute full, and then you tried to dump them in line, and you see, as you go around, so that it wasn't as hard, but you was on top of that machine, shaking,
sure.
Shaking.
How much would a sack weigh?
Well, of course, it depends on how good the sacks were, how much you put in, about 150 pounds, 145, 50 pounds. You handle them all day and you got tiresome.
Mm-hmm. Now, were all these farmers you worked for, were they Norwegians?
Yeah, most of them, yeah.
Most of them?
It's a Norwegian settlement.
The ones you talked to, were they pretty satisfied with doing that kind of farming and their?
Oh, I guess so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you ever think about going anywhere else when you were going to lease your own farm?
No.
No?
No. We leased one in 41 years.
Mm-hmm.
Till it was sold and we come up here.
Now, when you lease a farm like that, was that on the basis of just a yearly cash rent, or did it depend on how good the crop was?
No, it is on so much, you know, as a rule, the landlord got 1/3 of the crop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had a lease on the farm the first 6 years, from 21 till 27. Then the old fellow that owned it says, we don't need any more papers. You can have the farm, the place, as long as I live, if you want to. Well, I farmed it till in 62, but I didn't have any lease or any agreement except the old, what it was to start with. But he passed away, and then there was three sisters that owned the place. They're the ones that sold it in 62. So, never was for sale before.
How many acres?
320 acres. And a small wheat farm.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever do anything but wheat?
Well.
Do you have anything else, or did you have any animals?
Oh yeah. We had some milk cows a little bit, chickens, mm-hmm. few hogs. Yeah.
Did you ever ask him to buy the property yourself, or did you ever?
No, they never wanted, never was for sale.
Yeah. Yeah. You remember when you were first out there, came out there, first started leasing that farm in 1921, you remember what land was selling for?
Yeah, probably $60 an acre.
And how much did you have to pay for a year's rent on a 300 some acres?
Well, I give 1/3 of the crop.
You're 1/3 of the crop, so it depended. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in 28, the neighbor place was sold there for $80 an acre. But then the depression comes. That's when the time, hard time comes. And in 31, there was 800 acres there, pretty not far from where we lived. In fact, it joined our place, part of it. You could have bought it, I think, for the mortgage. It was on at $37 an acre. Nobody had any money. There was no money there. And now the land down there sells for $1,000, I think.
Now, tell me about the time when you got married. How long did you know your wife before you got married?
Well, I knew her from the time I came to Lake Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Because I visited with her folks just a few Sundays after I came down. Because
mm-hmm.
I was working down at this Wigan place and there was a neighbor, you know. And then I had some stuff for her sisters from Norway. And I brought that up there to her place and they got it. So I knew her from the time I come there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, where did you get married?
Spokane.
In Spokane?
At the old Holiday Hotel, in the manager's apartment. Because that hotel is no more, but it's right there at the rib pad,
mm-hmm.
part of the rib pad.
Why, did you have other people from the community came up here for the
wedding?
Well,
her folks come up, and her brother, and then this buddy that come with me to the country, together.
Mm-hmm.
They were there. He was married by a Lutheran pastor of Our Savior's Lutheran Church here.
Mm-hmm.
John Rockney, I think, was the pastor's name.
Was the wedding service in Norwegian then?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't in Norwegian.
Oh, yeah. Then. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have any kind of a wedding trip?
No.
Yeah.
Went back to the farm.
Was that typical that people might come into Spokane for a celebration like that? Or?
Well, I guess so.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a car at that time?
Oh, yeah. Model T.
Did you?
Ford. I got that with the outfit, but when I bought the lease on this place, I bought out a fellow that was leasing it before, see? Gave him so much for the... Well, there was 9 head of horses and a couple of cows, 3 cows and some hogs and chickens, a little bit. He was a bachelor. He had a little stuff in the house. And the summer follow. Of course, down there, you know, you summer follow the land. Paid him, I put so much.
Mm-hmm. And you got a car with it. Had you ever driven a car before?
No, well, yeah, a little.
Uh-huh.
Not very much so.
Mm-hmm.
That's on the first place is Wigan. He was trying to learn me, the oldest, one of the brothers. That I was. But I didn't. That was an old Dodge truck, more or less, trying to learn me. I had it. Whole of a steering wheel before, all right, but
mm-hmm.
this was a 1917 Model T that I got.
That you got?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did you have that car then?
Till in 28.
Mm-hmm.
Then, the first, they had a Ford agency in La Crosse at that time, and I got the first four-door of the Model A's that was sold in La Crosse. In fact, I got the second car that agency sold. They've sold it two-door once before, and then I got the sedan in 28. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're gonna turn the tape over now and start again on the other side. No, Mr. Garberg, we were saying that you worked out there in the forest and came from an area of Norway where there was lots of timber and all that. It's almost a little strange, isn't it, that you didn't end up in Western Washington up there in the logging camps. How did...
Well, it was just because that this neighbor of mine had made a contact with this fellow to go to La Crosse. That's the reason. I didn't know what western part looked like, or Washington, or eastern, or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Except that my uncle Chris says, oh, La Crosse, oh, dusty. No, no, go Seattle, go to the west coast. Well, him and Uncle Pete, when they worked in Alaska during most of the summertime for several years, then they spent the winter in Seattle. In fact, Chris was a little gambler, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then my oldest uncle, Paul, had some land out of Seattle when he was here. He had a little farm down there. And that's the reason that he, after he come back to Norway and got married, he intended to come back here.
Mm-hmm.
So he traded with my dad for the place that he had bought over there, and Dad got on the old home place. But
sure. Didn't.
Uncle Paul never.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, your uncle said you don't go to La Crosse.
Yeah, don't go to La Crosse. Go to on the coast, Seattle.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where they had spent their winters.
Uh-huh.
Part of the time. Sometimes they stayed in Alaska too, but not.
Why didn't he think you'd like La Crosse?
Well, he had been here, and I guess he happened to see a dust storm or something
uh-huh.
when he was here.
Yeah.
Because, well, he had a cousin here, Mrs. Carson, mother to those two pastors that is listed in that book.
In the Selbu Lutheran Church anniversary
book. The mother to them is a first cousin to my dad and my uncle, see.
Awesome.
That's how Uncle Chris had, when he was staying mm-hmm. over in Seattle for the winter, you know, he made a visit over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it must have been probably in the spring or something,
mm-hmm.
early in the spring. Oh, it was a dusty.
Did you ever do like your Uncle Chris said and go to Seattle?
No. I've never been there.
You've never been there, yeah. You've seen Western.
But he told me, if you come back, he says, why, Uncle Andrew had died a couple of years then. He says, go to Seattle and visit his grave, he says.
Oh, yeah.
See you. He had a nice home out on Lake Washington. But he happened to marry a bad one, I guess. They never had no children, but she was a car dealer and one thing another from Nome, Alaska, and one day another.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I had a man, well, this wouldn't be.
Well, not everybody, didn't work out for everybody, did it?
No.
Equally well.
No, no.
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 Yeah. Did you know did most of the people that came to La Crosse, did they end up staying there, or did some of them go on to other parts?
The majority, but a lot of them went back, too. A lot of them is going back. Now there's two families that came together with her. Well, the old folks and the son went back, but the daughter got married here and stayed with the farm here. That's the way that was. That is Nervik.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was after it. He was here and farmed here at La Crosse for a while, but he went back.
What was his name?
Aftret.
Aftret.
Aftret. A-F-T-R-E-T.
Uh-huh. Aftret.
Aftret. Aftret.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He went back.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Oh, there's a few others, too.
Right.
But now down there, there's his third and, well, and fourth generation, probably, at Wiggins.
Mm-hmm. When did you become an American citizen?
36, I think.
Mm-hmm. How did you prepare for that?
Well, I studied, you know, about our government, wanting on it. I studied hard, too. Mm-hmm. I knew what the old judge said. I never heard anything like it. He said, you have studied, he said. Of course, you had a federal examiner, you know. It was a superior court, you see. She went through the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to come into Spokane for
that? No, you got it at Colfax at that time.
At Colfax, uh-huh.
Of course, now you got to go. If you was down there now, you have to come to Spokane. But then you got a superior court in Colfax. County, mm-hmm. Whitman County. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember the examiner, one big question, you know. He says, have you ever heard of the checks and the balance system in our government? And I knew that, and I explained it to him, you know, just in detail, you know. I'd worked from one department to the other, you know, and the other one. But one branch of the government, you know, just has charge of the matters that comes before them, you know, like Congress and then the President and then Supreme Court. And that's when the old judge says, I never heard anything like it. Because I had studied it, I knew it. I just happened to get that, you know, something that was good, you know. Mm-hmm. So the old federal man said, oh, that's enough.
That's enough. Mm-hmm. Was there a particular reason why you decided to go for your citizenship just then, or?
Well, no. I don't know. I was going to, just had been putting it off, you know. I thought it was hard, you know. Some of them had been there and got turned on. And it depended on the judge a lot. Of course, you had to study. You had to know, you know, it's set up. And of course, your state government is about the same as your federal, you know, in a way. She studied the same thing again a couple of years later. Mm-hmm. She got it.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me about your children and what they have done. Your wife mentioned their names, but let's repeat it also for your interview. Your oldest daughter is Clara.
Clara.
Uh-huh. When was she born?
October the 4th, 1922.
Mm-hmm. And, what has she done?
She's been married twice. In fact, she isn't married now, but she her first husband, they had the sanitary service in a town in Clearfield, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
They had, well, just
she
like...
She was the bookkeeper.
Yeah. She worked here in a store here as a bookkeeper. She went through business college. Mm-hmm. Went right after high school. And she worked for a department store downtown here for 4 years. And then he was in the service out here and met him. And then he passed away. Well, what year was that? 51? And left her with four boys. And 3-4 trucks and 8 men working for them. They had a pretty good business. She ran that for a few years, and then she married another guy. And he was a bottle man.
Mm-hmm. You mean he liked the bottle? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. But so she's continued to work then?
Yeah, she's a head cook for a old people's home in the church there.
Mm-hmm. She's coming up next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's going to drive out here in first of the month. Mm-hmm. She's been been the head cook there for, they serve several hundred people there every day. Kind of a charity, I guess, or I don't know. Mm-hmm. Senior citizens, mostly. That's what it is.
Then your son, Irvin, when was he born?
August 17, 1925.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about him.
He's married. And they got three sons, mm-hmm. Earl, Paul, and Gary. Gary is the one that is back in New York.
Mm-hmm. You said he had graduated from Columbia.
Yeah, University. From Columbia. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did Irvin go to college?
No, he went to trade school after he was in service for, I forget what year that was.
4 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then he went to trade school, as a diesel mechanic, because he's never worked as a mechanic. He's been a shop clerk for the Caterpillar dealer here in town here.
Mm-hmm. And then your daughter, Sadie?
She's married to a farmer, huh? Alan, Gene Allen. They're on a farm.
Here in the Spokane area?
South of Spokane, at Valley Ford.
Mm-hmm. And when was Sadie born?
Now, wait a minute. Oh, you see, July 6, 1928.
So she's worked on the farm with her husband then, and
yeah, she worked in a bank here after high school, mm-hmm. Old National Bank for 7 years, I think she was. And then she married a farmer out. They're about 20 miles south of town. Mm-hmm. And then Phyllis, she went through business college. And she's been working for this General Motors, bank credit office, or, you know, that's where they get their finance, their cars. She's still working there. She says she's going to retire in 7 years. I don't know, she'll be, she's born in, let's see, September. Huh? September 5th, yeah. 1935. Mm-hmm. That's about it there, and she works here in Spokane.
Mm-hmm. Is she married?
Oh, yeah. She's married and has two boys. Her name is Minor. She married John Minor.
She's got one boy and two girls.
Phyllis.
Oh, Phyllis. Oh, yeah.
Two boys, Jeffrey and Kevin.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And they're both married, too.
Mm-hmm. And they each got a job. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now tell me, did you get involved with any special kinds of community groups or Norwegian groups? No?
Except the church.
The church. Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the life there in the Selbu Lutheran Church congregation. How much went on in Norwegian in those years when you first came?
It was all Norwegian up till 20, when was it, Trondheim come there? 27, 28, when we built the new church. Mm. Built the new church in 28 and Trondheim come there. And then they got in, he was a young pastor too, but he'd learned Norwegian all right, and he preached every other Sunday, Norwegian ones and English. And then it kept on. The See, at that time, the name of the congregation down there, or the church, the name of it, or we belonged to a synod, the Norsk Lutherske Kirke I Amerika. Well, in 1931, there was more going over to the English, see, because the young people down there didn't know nobody. So then, they changed the name of the church to the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We belong to that synod. And that's where that congregation belonged to till in 1962, when we joined in with the American Lutheran Church. So, from then on, it was all English, but from 31 or 32.
There wasn't any church, you know, when you first come out there, like Uncle.
No, I saw that in the book, you know, the schoolhouse where the first meeting.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to borrow that book.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, how easy was it to get pastors to serve that church? Were they able to serve your church alone, or did they have to serve
They come from Moscow. They didn't have a preacher either.
Of course, that was Hall. That was the last one, though.
Yeah.
That was Hall in 1918, mm-hmm. I think. After that, they had their own.
They had their own pastor.
Well, they had trouble, you know, their funeral and things like that, and then they had to give them down from Moscow. So it was kind of a mess. He lived in Moscow and came on the train. And we went to La Crosse with a team and brought him out. And he went between everybody. He was up at our place, too.
Mm-hmm. To stay over?
Uh-huh. Night, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, how far out of town was the church building?
About 8 miles.
8 miles?
About 8 miles.
So it was located out there where most of the Norwegian farmers...
Oh, yeah. Right about in the center. It's
kind of up on the hill.
At three corners of the roads.
It's over here, too. It doesn't show it.
Well, of course, it's right about in the center, and then...
Isn't that it?
Here's a picture.
Yeah, she's seen it out of the book.
Oh, I saw that picture.
Yeah, it's in the book. It's in the book.
Oh, yeah. And I can see that it is out in the country.
Yeah. And then... The cemetery is right up here. There's a three-corner out of a section of land here.
It's up on a hill.
Here is one road goes here.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's another one goes over that way. So this is the three-corner in here. And he gave us all of this land when he first bought it. It was a brother to her uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived right just a half a mile farther down the road.
Then they started the church. It was just this church,
yeah.
You know, and then there was a little room in
the cemetery is right up on the hill here.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same picture is in the book.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
But then the hay stood up again and Bush had a room from top.
Well, I was telling them they changed the front of the church, you know, remodeled that, you see. Mm-hmm. That's all the different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they've obviously built on then and expanded. Did they have trouble in the early days having enough resources to build and pay the pastor and so on? How did that?
Oh, that's been the same all the time.
Same all the time.
Oh,
always. Hard.
It still is, you know. Still is. Behind, you know. Behind. They spent $128,000 over here, you know, at St. Peter, you know, the elevator, and then the facilities upstairs, you know, restrooms there, and of course it's nice, you know, but cost a lot of money.
Did you go to the church?
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about your going back to Norway. You went back with your wife in 62?
64.
64, excuse me, 1964. Was that the only time you went back?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Well, We done a lot of visiting back there, that's about all. Of course, we went a lot faster, quicker.
Mm-hmm.
We got on the plane in Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
And we flew to New York, and of course, we had to wait there a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got on the Scandinavian Airlines in New York and flew. We landed in Copenhagen, Denmark, first at Kastrup Airport. Then we flew from there up to Oslo. And then we...
You flew right over his place.
Yeah, we flew. And then we flew from there and up to Værnes, or Trondheim Airport. It's a military training camp there. We flew from there in a smaller plane from Oslo.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister and her husband met us there.
Yeah.
A few others.
Uh-huh. How did things seem to you in Sevdu? What had changed the most?
Well,
cars
I think...
Cars now, but there wasn't a car when we
were... They had cars,
mm-hmm.
all right, a lot of cars, and of course their farming method, you know, our land at home was quite steep. My dad used to farm it all, and we cut a lot of it with a scythe, you know. Scab land, you know, for sheep. And but now they just pastured all that, you see. And they put up a lot of silos. And still them days they used to hang up a lot of the hay, you know, and dry it on. Now my nephew, my sister tells me, he built a new barn 2 years ago and put in a hay dryer in the barn. So if it rains, well, they cut it and dry it.
Mm-hmm.
And but in the timber, they logged the timber a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a youngster there, my dad used to go in and pick out, well, I would take a big one here. And another big one way over there, and we had different tracts, you know, we owned from old, I think, there were, to our home place, there was 14 different timber tracts to that, owned to that place, but it was here and up towards the mountain. And then the neighbor farm owned this and that. But now they cut it all, take all, just like you cut it with a mower. And then they let the slashing lay till it rots, and then they plant new timber.
Mm-hmm.
Because they claim that the old timber, it gets too old. Something about like wheat. You got to breed new kinds, change. I thought it looked awful, you know, so some of that in the timber there, you know, very old tracks where my dad used to take out a while, take one here and take one there. Then in about 10 years he'd go through the same thing again, you see. But now they take it all, cut it all. A lot of it goes for, well, sawmills for, and some of the small stuff to the paper mills and one thing and another.
Mm-hmm.
But then they claim this is the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
They plant new timber.
When you think back on, you know, the Norwegians you knew in this country and so on, do you think there's anything that's pretty typical of Norwegians? When you think of your, you know, being a Norwegian or you meet a Norwegian, are the things you think about is... No.
Nothing special.
Yeah. Does it mean anything real special? Does it mean anything special to you that you are Norwegian?
Oh, I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't say so.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. How
I think we're all more or less all the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you've got a different personality, differentness, you know. I've heard them say about the Germans, you know, especially that they were proud as a nation, you know. Well, that's what ruined them, I think, if there was such a thing. Of course, you've heard about the old Norse, you know, the Vikings, you know. They were bad, you know.
And earned their kerchief. You bought. Buy like that. And they don't buy, but they, I don't understand.
Yeah. Say that again. You taught your children to?
No, I didn't. But they did that in Norway, curtsy.
To curtsy, oh yes. Uh-huh. They were to curtsy to their the grown-ups and so on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the man, you know, he buys.
He had to bow and,
That was the style by some town people, mostly.
I don't think there's much different in any nation, much. Really.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't say so.
Yeah.
I might, you know, Norway's called the land of the midnight sun, you know. I heard this from Pastor Dahl. I might have to tell you this so I can get his name in there. Is that still on? Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, he'd been back to our church convention in Minneapolis, you know, and he said in one time, you know, I am not a storyteller. I don't tell stories, but I heard something about the Norwegians and something about the Germans back at the convention. So today I'll tell the one about the Norwegians. He says, why is Norway the son of the land of the midnight sun? Well, they say, when God made this earth, he didn't trust the Norwegians in the dark.
Except he gave them lots of darkness during the winter, didn't he?
Yeah. They got all the darkness during the winter.
During Christmas, my dark.
Yeah.
Well, are there any special ways that you've kept up your Norwegian heritage that you've passed it on to your children?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I know, really.
I noticed you gave your children very American names.
Well, of course, we were here, you know, in America.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were here. Then I suppose that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
What's yours?
Did you read any Norwegian language newspapers here in this country, or?
Well, we've had the Dakota Posten, you know, for a long time, for years, and then they quit, and then we've had the Western Viking. But I quit that because he couldn't read anymore. He ceased to read, so I quit that last Christmas. But then my sister sends me a little hometown paper from Norway. In fact, I think there's one in the mailbox right now. I thought that was the mailman put in there. I'm not sure. Ooh, excitement today.
Mm-hmm.
No, that wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened there.
Well, kan vi avsluta nå med att prata lite norsk då för Bonne? Kan du fortælle lite om hvordan dere feiret jul hjemme i Norge da du var barn?
Well, det var noen lemse og fat i mine.
That's all you got.
Yeah. Brygger dem med litt øl. But there was about a syrup, oil.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm 10th out.
They were 10th out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Kan du huske at dere liksom hadde fri I nok så mange dager I forbindelse med jul?
Yeah, det var jul 2 uker fra den 5 or 10 that they learn 13, they don't know what I think they are paid at you.
Var det noen form for norsk jul da du kom til La Croix?
Ikke svært meg.
Nei.
No. Mm.
I can remember they had any
Christmas. No.
Yeah. Men da får vi si tusen takk for samtalen.
Ja, you're welcome.